Hello and welcome to Vanguard Audiobooks and the Learning College. I'm Alex Linder. You can find this and everything we record at vnnforum.com and later permanently archived at alexlinder.com. Today we're going to do the first of three sections of Chapter 4 of Abir Taha's Nietzsche, Prophet of Nazism, The Cult of the Superman, Unveiling the Nazi Secret Doctrine. And we're going to do Section A, which is Socialism and Liberalism, the Rule of the Last Man. So we're going to hear about everything that the Nazis and Hitler are, and the Nazis and Nietzsche are opposed to, democracy, communism, and that general mentality, favoring the weak and favoring numbers instead of individuals. Taha begins, as usual, with three sets of quotes from Nietzsche and Hitler. First, Nietzsche says, "The socialist conception of the highest society is the lowest in the order of rank." And Hitler says, "The Jewish doctrine of Marxism rejects the aristocratic principle of nature and replaces the eternal privilege of power and strength by the mass of numbers and their dead weight." Nietzsche, "Democracy represents the disbelief in great human beings and in elite society." And Tweezers, "Everyone is equal to everyone else." Hitler says, "By rejecting the authority of the individual and replacing it by the numbers of some momentary mob, the parliamentary principle of majority rule sins against the basic aristocratic principle of nature." And Nietzsche, finally, "Does this present not belong to the mob? Mob above, mob below. What are poor and rich today? I am unlearned. I unlearn this distinction." And finally, Hitler, "The Western democracy of today is the forerunner of Marxism, which, without, would not be thinkable. It provides this worldly plague with a culture in which its germs can spread." So democracy is like a petri dish in which grow the vile plague spores of Marxism. So the aristocratic individual, the true elite, versus the mob. Taha says, "The right of the strong higher men with great souls to dominate the weak, worthless, and wretched subhumans has clear political implications. It leads to a justification of highly authoritarian and elitist systems of government, such as the Third Reich. The rule of the Superman, heralded by Nietzsche and Nazism, will thus be radically anti-democratic. Be a radically anti-democratic age, a repudiation of the humanist paradigm, both liberal and socialist, which has prevailed in the West since the Enlightenment and the French Revolution. Indeed, while the proclamation of the death of God was a clear reaction to Christian morality's transcendental and personal God, Nietzsche nonetheless believed that the Enlightenment's rationalism, with its narrow positivism and realism, was definitely not the alternative for civilization. For its rejection of the belief in the possibility of human greatness and perfection only leads to nihilism, and therefore could never create the Superman as mankind's highest goal, producing only, quote, men without chests, i.e. modernity's contemptible race of mediocre, uncreative realists, men with horizontal virtue and limited souls. Quote, "For thus you speak, we are complete realists, and without belief or superstition. Thus you thump your chests. Alas, even without having chests. Unworthy of belief, that is what I call you, you realists. You are unfruitful, therefore you lack belief. But he who has to create always had his prophetic dreams and star auguries, and he believed in belief." So that would be Nietzsche directly criticizing people like me. "We are reminded of Hitler's scorn of democracies for their lack of true convictions, convictions that one defends with one's life, great ideals worth dying for. The Nietzschean and Nazi philosophies were, therefore, a revolt against the entire humanist tradition of the West, Judeo-Christianity, rationalism, socialism, and liberalism, viewing the latter two as secularized versions of Christianity. Nietzsche and Nazism's avowed contempt for democracy and humanism led them to successfully establish a spiritual break with Western civilization, a civilization which they considered had fallen to the level of satisfying purely material, selfish, and utilitarian values. thereby dismissing man's true vocation in life, which is none other than self-perfection and self-overcoming. Transcending nihilism thus required crushing these, quote, enemies of the Superman and their immediate cause, the French Revolution, what Nietzsche termed that gruesome superfluous farce, with its, quote, wholly un-Germanic, genuinely neo-Latin, shallow, and unmetaphysical philosophy. According to Nietzsche, the French Revolution, the, quote, daughter and continuation of Christianity, unquote, corrupted humanity with its slogan, liberty, equality, fraternity, for all, waging an all-out war against, quote, against caste, against the noble, against the last privileges. Rejecting both socialism and liberalism as two aspects of the same materialist and egalitarian view of the world, Nietzsche and Nazism condemned these, quote, corrupt, unquote, theories for their leveling character, which has led to a cult of the mediocre in all things by instituting the lie of the equality of souls as society's main foundation, as shown in Nietzsche's following declaration, quote, nobody today has the courage any longer for privileges, for master's rights, for a sense of respect for oneself and one's peers, for a pathos of distance. Our politics is sick from this lack of courage. The aristocratic outlook was undermined from the deepest underworld through the lie of the equality of souls. Nietzsche thus dismisses both the industrious Democrats and the anarchist dogs, the, quote, socialist dolts and blockheads, who all share a, quote, total and instinctive hostility to every form of society other than that of the autonomous herd, to the point of repudiating even the concepts master and servant. Ni Dieu ni maître, says a socialist formula. Being, quote, at one in their tenacious opposition to every special claim, every special right and privilege. Nietzsche's opposition to socialism, which, quote, naively dreams of equal rights, and to parliamentary government and the press, quote, the means by which the herd animal becomes the master, is shared by Hitler, who views the Marxist notions of a classless society as sheer madness, direct quote, while asserting that the democratic conception of a hierarchy based on money is no lesser madness, for they both replace the vital law and aristocratic principle of true domination, which is racial and spiritual, by the numbers and their dead weight. Liberalism and socialism are therefore two sides of the same coin, and they only vary in degree, i.e. a socialist is a super-democrat, a radical liberal of the left, while liberal democracy establishes an unnatural hierarchy with a fake elite at the top, based on money, not true, moral, biological, spiritual superiority. Socialism doesn't even recognize any hierarchy between men, and is thus a, quote, remedy worse than the liberal disease, an exacerbation of the materialistic, atomistic, individualistic, and utilitarian tendencies of liberalism. Indeed, both ideologies focus on capital as the motor of history, clashing only on who should own and control it, the bourgeoisie or the proletariat. Addressing the rich bourgeois upper classes, Nietzsche advises them first to cure themselves against their capitalism as a prelude to cure the working man of his socialism. Quote, the only remedy against socialism that still lies in your power is to avoid provoking socialism. Possession alone differentiates you from them. In a similar fashion, Hitler viewed the bourgeois world as, quote, Marxist, but to a lesser degree, for it believed in the possibility of the domination of certain groups, whereas Marxism advocated a classless society. The Western democracy of today is the forerunner of Marxism, which, without, it would not be thinkable. It provides this world plague with a culture in which its germs can spread. Against socialism, quote, the tyranny of the least and the dumbest, of the superficial and envious, a doctrine where there is badly hidden, quote, a will to negate life, Nietzsche directs the worst accusation, that of, quote, the collective degeneration and diminution of man to the perfect herd animal, this animalization of man to the pygmy animal of equal rights and equal pretensions. The socialist rabble, whom Nietzsche despised the most, sought to impose the, quote, injustice of, quote, equal rights to all, and thus infringe nature's aristocratic principle of the inequality of man. Quote, injustice never lies in unequal rights, it lies in the claim to equal rights. The socialist-communist corruption, in Nietzsche's view, transformed the worker into a revengeful, envious anarchist who rejects all natural hierarchy. Indeed, quote, the socialist conception of the highest society is the lowest in the order of rank. The Nazis shared Nietzsche's utter contempt for socialism. In fact, they were the staunchest enemies of Marxism, that worldly plague. Thus, for Hitler, the Jewish doctrine of Marxism, quote, rejects the aristocratic principle of nature and replaces the eternal privilege of power and strength by the mass of numbers and their dead weight. Thus, it denies the value of personality in man, contests the significance of nationality and race, and thereby withdraws from humanity the premise of its existence and its culture. It is worth noting in this respect that National Socialism was only socialist in the sense of rejecting capitalism's tyranny of money, the same, quote, hierarchy based on money, which Nietzsche condemned as unnatural. Yet Nazism definitely condemned class conflict and the socialist ideal of a classless society, advocating instead a radically elitist and hierarchical system based on true superiority or true domination, i.e. the domination of race and personality, the rule of the best racial and spiritual elements of society, which would bring about the greatness of the whole nation, not the socialist atomistic happiness of individuals. Second among the enemies of Nietzsche's Superman and Nazism's New Order are the liberals, whom Nietzsche labeled the feebler descendants of, quote, communists and socialists of all times. Liberal democracy, which is Christianity made natural, also stands guilty, like socialism, of instituting the superstition of the equality of all before God. To Nietzsche, liberalism represents, quote, a common war on all that is rare, strange, privileged, the higher man, the higher soul, the higher duty, the higher responsibility, and the abundance of creative power. Therefore, quote, the honorable term for mediocre is, of course, the word liberal. In addition to their rejection of its egalitarian and leveling character, which produces only mediocrity, Nietzsche and Nazism also despise liberalism's atomistic and ahistorical conception of the individual self and its realization, lacking any vision of the world and refusing to set as higher goal for humanity the possibility of perfection. The liberal materialistic doctrine suffers from shallowness and superficiality, and therefore has never produced greatness or made history, nor will it ever. By declaring that, quote, human society is an experiment, not a contract, Nietzsche launches a scathing attack against liberalism's, quote, contract theory, i.e. its conception of the state as a selfish, stateless money aristocracy, an attack which is echoed by Nazism's condemnation of, quote, that doctrine of licentiousness, of disconnectedness among individuals, and, as a necessary result, of dictatorship by the will of the mass, composed of atomized individuals, a mass called into being, dominated, and directed by money. Liberalism thus represents the rule of money, while democracy represents the rule of the majority, and will lead, according to Nietzsche, to a leveling and mediocritizing of man into a useful, industrious, highly serviceable, and able herd animal, a type prepared for slavery in the subtlest sense. This herd animalization, Nietzsche thought, is achieved through parliamentary institutions and adding together of clever herd men, an opinion shared by Hitler, who considers that, quote, by rejecting the authority of the individual and replacing it by the numbers of some momentary mob, the parliamentary principle of majority rule sins against the basic aristocratic principle of nature. Democracy is thus decadence assuming a political form. It represents, in Nietzsche's words, quote, the disbelief in great human beings and an elite society. Everyone is equal to everyone else. Whereas, quote, aristocracy represents the belief in an elite humanity and higher caste. In light of the above-mentioned radically illiberal statements, one cannot but dismiss as utterly preposterous the allegations made by some scholars that Nietzsche was a liberal humanist concerned with the sanctity and dignity of the ordinary individual. Nietzsche indeed distinguished between healthy higher or heroic egoism, i.e. the greatness of personality and individuality, and petty selfishness, the ahistorical, atomistic lower egotism of the liberals. Egoism, for the higher man, is the drive to increase the power of the soul. Man's highest elevation is the attainment of his individuality, yet this process is limited to the select few born with noble souls, for whom happiness is self-overcoming, not mere comfort and self-preservation. Nietzsche's politics are, in fact, quote, neither individualistic nor collectivistic. The former, he argues, does not recognize an order of rank and would grant one the same freedom as all, while the latter fails to generate a notion of individual greatness. Making sure his heroic individualism would not be confused with democratic individualism, Nietzsche sharply criticized the liberal atomistic conception of freedom, which he condemned as being merely a freedom from constraint, or, quote, freedom from a yoke, asserting instead his own idea of freedom as victory or higher freedom, the freedom of the warrior which grows out of overcoming, out of the struggle, out of the will to power. Quote, do you call yourself free? I want to hear your ruling idea, and not that you have escaped from a yoke. Free from what? Zarathustra does not care about that. But your eye should clearly tell me, free for what? According to Nietzsche and the Nazis, who belonged to the noumenalist or teleo-naturalist school of thought, teleo means an end or a purpose to something. Teleology, an end or purpose in the design. The point of the design of nature is aristocratic competition. The best wins. Only the biggest, toughest Tom breeds, and the rest don't. But they look to defeat him until one of them eventually does or he dies. You see, that's the principle in nature. Nature has an end. It's through competition developing the higher forms in men leading to the Superman. That would be the teleo-naturalist, as opposed to the Christian school of transcendent God and afterlife. According to Nietzsche and the Nazis, who belonged to the noumenalist or teleo-naturalist school of thought, liberal institutions are therefore injurers of freedom, for they undermine the will to power. The freedom they advocate not being teleologically directed towards self-perfection. Scorning the liberal self-proclaimed, falsely named free spirits as unfree and ludicrously superficial type of individuals, Nietzsche considered that they belong, quote, among the levelers who strive after the, quote, universal green pasture happiness of the herd, with security, safety, comfort, and an easier life for all, equality of rights, and sympathy for all that suffers. Socialism, liberalism, democracy, for Nietzsche and the Nazis, these doctrines stand accused of having led humanity into modernity's era of mediocrity, which represents the victory of the slaves and their petty virtues, or mob rule. Does this present not belong to the mob? Deplores Nietzsche, adding, quote, mob above, mob below. What are the poor and rich today? I unlearned this distinction. So he's saying that they're the same thing because they value money and they value conformity and they want equal rights for all rather than individual greatness and an aristocratic elite. So I think it's important that he says he's not an individualist or a collectivist. He's a little bit of both. He's for individual greatness, and he's for an aristocratic elite, and he's against the mob and dead numbers, and that's true of the Nazis as well. Indeed, despite differences in degree, not in nature, socialism and liberalism are inherently one and the same, quote, decadent, materialistic, and egalitarian paradigm. producing a leveling and hence a degeneration of the nation into a herd society, which is, in Nietzsche's view, none other than, quote, a sum of zeros, where every zero has equal rights, where it is virtuous to be a zero. So again, this would start with Christianity and soul equality before God, spiritual equality before God, which is just as bogus as every other equality. And it would lead over time to secularization into the political sphere, the degeneracy of democracy and money values overall. The socialist and the libertarians may disagree, but they are both part of the materialist school, and he's saying their difference between them is one of degree rather than of kind. Nietzsche and Nazism had declared an all-out war against these avowed enemies of the Superman, whose rule would be a spiritual, radically aristocratic age aimed at producing a collective elevation and self-overcoming of humankind towards greatness and perfection on Earth, towards the creation of the God-man. Socialism and liberalism thus represent the rule of, quote, men without chests, the victory of the last man, who is the beginning of the end, i.e. the herd man of contemporary life, which Nietzsche holds in contempt. Quote, alas, the time is coming when man will give birth to no more stars. Alas, the time of the most contemptible man is coming. Behold, I shall show you the ultimate man. The earth has become small, and upon it hops the ultimate man, who makes everything small. Ours is the age of the last man, the antithesis to the Superman. We are indeed living in the era of the slave, a purposeless age of mediocrity in which greatness is absent, and perfection an impossibility. By imposing the Christian slogan of the equality of souls before God, that's a direct quote, equality of souls before God, the French Revolution was responsible for producing the twin egalitarian and materialistic ideologies of socialism and liberalism, which are modern secularized versions of Christianity, and which, far from achieving progress, have reduced man into a spiritual dwarf, a perfect modern slave. Thus did Nietzsche and Nazism view modernity and Judeo-Christian Western civilization. Christianity, with its notion of the transcendent and personal God, had ruled out the possibility of human perfection. Only by killing this God would men be able to overcome themselves and become gods. For, quote, precisely this is godliness, that there are gods, but no God. Precisely this is godliness, with a capital G, that there are gods, small g, but no God, big G. And that's how Nietzsche would be a pagan, pantheist, they would usually call it, rather than an atheist, as he might be called. Although I suppose he could be that too, but you see what I mean by that. One has to choose either the greatness of the transcendent God or the greatness of the God-man, God hyphen man always when I read that, the inner God. One cannot have both, for one is always achieved at the expense of the other. Yet according to Nietzsche and Nazism, the materialistic, liberal, and socialist doctrines of the Enlightenment were certainly not the alternative to the transcendentalism of Christianity. Indeed, although these doctrines had killed God for the sake of man, their atheist materialism, by dismissing any possibility of self-overcoming and self-perfection, has turned man into a hedonistic, pleasure-thirsty, lustful creature, a slave to his desires and instincts, and has therefore led not only to a dwarfing of man, but also to an animalization of man, to the last man, quote-unquote, the, quote, lord and master of the present. Quote, overcome for me these masters of the present, O my brothers, urged Nietzsche, adding, quote, these petty people, they are the Superman's greatest danger. The age of the Superman will be a radically aristocratic, anti-democratic age. And there it ends. Very, very rich stuff. I think very, very well expressed so that it's memorable and we can keep in mind exactly what all these distinctions. And we see what very intelligent people and very dedicated people who literally died for it thought about our modern democratic age, about liberalism, which could be taken as classical liberalism or really more libertarianism today, and socialism being the same thing from a spiritual point of view, merely differing in degree, and the opposite being the great individual and the great aristocratic elite working for the overman, the superman, the birth of a new and better man, a literal God man at the highest point, versus the Christian transcendent God and man as poor worms of soul equality and eventually political material equality when it degrades all the way into socialism and communism. Although one does wonder what Nietzsche would say if he had lived long enough to see the Jewish revolution in the USSR. Would he see that as the Jews themselves cleverly using this Christian concept in order to make their own race into gods? I wonder how he would respond to that. That'd be a very interesting idea. But of course, he died in about 1900, so he didn't live quite long enough. He was aware of Jewish radicalism, Jewish communism, but he hadn't seen it take power and what it would actually do. So I don't know how he would look at that today, but he might see that as the Jews' way of producing their own Superman, their own aristocratic elite, dominating by use of these doctrines they themselves know to be bogus, the 20th and still the 21st century. Anyway, thanks for being with me today, and I'll be back with you again, and we'll pick up with the next section about aristocratic radicalism, eugenics, and the rule of the Aryan master race, about breeding a master race. Very, very interesting, valuable stuff, I think. I'll talk to you then.